Does God lead us into temptation, or does he lead us through temptation? Find out today on Dive Deep. If you're joining us from the car, the gym, running errands, or home with a sick kid, or even during your work hours, although not advisable, we are glad to have you as a part of our Dive Deep community. Our goal in this podcast is to help you grow in your faith. We hope to inspire you on your journey as a disciple-making disciple. Filling in for Caleb Swartz, I'm your host, Pastor Brandon Mestock, campus pastor to our Sunbury campus, and joining me today is our family life pastor, Mike Swigert.
Hey, what's up, Pastor Brandon? I'm doing great. How are you?
I can't complain. It's a good day. So, Pastor Mike, we tackled a seemingly simple but complex aspect of our walk with Christ, and that is the issue of prayer. We walked through the Lord's Prayer that Jesus gave his disciples in Matthew chapter 6. Before we get to a question that I have on prayer, and you're studying for this week's message, what challenged you in regards to your own prayer life and how everybody should approach prayer?
Man, great question. I think that if we're not careful, like, we've been born with a sinful nature. And so it's really insidious how self can wrap it itself around what we do. And if for any of us who are in Christ, we're a new creation. And so knowing that and living out of our identity in Christ and choosing to respond in faith versus in selfishness, I think translates to even how we pray. Like, it challenged me, like, am I praying selfish prayers? Am I praying prayers that are going to benefit me or are going to expand God's kingdom and do the will and work of our Heavenly Father? And so that's one of the things that in preparation, I think God revealed to me to really allow his work to happen in the process of talking to him and not just examining the conversation, but what the nature of the requests are and where they come from.
That's good. Now, for somebody who might be new to the Christian walk, Christian faith, what is maybe a single sentence? What is prayer?
Really simply as a word, a conversation. Well, I guess that was a conversation, but conversation is what I think of with prayer. And I think the same way that we would have a conversation face-to-face like we are now, it necessitates us to not just speak, but more importantly, listen. And our culture gets so busy to where I think it's difficult because we want to give a list or a litany or things like that. And then in turn, we get done with the list and it's like, all right, time to go, versus, okay, let me pause and just see how God directs my thoughts, because I believe in his power. I believe in his presence. I believe that he's going to guide and guard those who are humbly seeking him. So in this moment, how are my thoughts being directed, you know, and how are they then in alignment with God's character and who he is?
I think you hit on one of the most difficult aspects of prayer, and that's listening and being still and being silent, because we just talk and talk and talk.
Sure.
And then we say amen. You know, it's kind of like we pick up a phone and we talk to somebody and talk to them. Yep. And then, okay, bye, hang up. Mm-hmm. And we don't allow a response. Mm-hmm. So important that we allow a response from God to maybe not speak audibly to us. I've never heard God audibly.
Right.
But I've felt God in my heart causing me to lean towards maybe a decision that I had. But those moments only came when I stopped and I listened to his part of the conversation.
Yeah. And it makes me think a little bit about, you know, where in scripture we find that God wasn't in the whirlwind, you know, he wasn't in the storm. He was in the still small voice. And in order to hear a still small voice, we ourselves need to be still. And to be honest, like, in our prayer walk, I'm sure that every single person gets distracted when they kneel or they sit down and close their eyes to pray. Like, distraction is a reality of it. But then how do we respond in the midst of that to be like, okay, I'm going to refocus my thoughts back on my Heavenly Father and what he wants, because there might be something that pops in. But then how am I allowing God to guide my thinking versus, you know, here's the list of things I need to get when I run to Walmart or something like that.
That's just so important to realize about prayer, that it's a two-way conversation. So how is asking God to lead us through temptation different from asking to lead us not into temptation? does any of those asks align more with scripture than the other?
Yeah, so that's a great question. And like, there's so much like that we could talk about when it comes to prayer, and then specifically with temptation, because this was one where in preparation, the question came up, well, why would God lead us into temptation? Like the verse says, lead us not into temptation. Right. God, are you leading me into temptation? Because in scripture, we find elsewhere that God does not tempt us. He will allow for testing, but testing does not mean that he's going to lead us into a place of sin. He's going to lead us into a place of deeper obedience. So God won't lead us into a place where we will be tempted. And one thing that helps me is to look at parallel versions. Like, for example, the NIV says, lead us not into temptation. The NLT says, don't let us yield to temptation. The CEV says, keep us from being tempted and protect us from evil. So when we look at a parallel version, I know for me, that helps me to say, okay, I kind of get, you know, angles on the same diamond type of a thing. And so, for example, God, we're asking God to align our hearts with his will so that we will be aware of temptation and not succumb to it if and when it does arrive. So for example, like in second service yesterday, I mentioned that sometimes, you know, people will say, well, I wish that I could be near this temptation and not give in to it. But in reality, what's being said is like, I want strength that I don't yet have. So I need to start at the place that I'm at and get away from it because I'm not strong enough to deal with that. So, okay, you've recognized the temptation and the trigger. So you got to get away from that versus saying, I wish I could just muscle my way through it because it doesn't work like that. The Holy Spirit has made you aware that, okay, this is a place where you're going to step into sin. For example, if someone struggles with drunkenness, I'm not going to say, hey, go do your homework or, you know, your out of office work at the bar. That's not going to be a good place for you to do it. If, you know, you wrestle with pornography, I'm not going to say, hey, you know, hang out with your smartphone like at 3 a.m. or something like that. We've got to set up healthy boundaries so that we can not yield, back to the verse, to temptation, but God will deliver us as he makes our minds aware. It kind of connects with Romans 12 too. We're not going to copy the patterns and behaviors of this world, but let God transform us by the renewing of our minds. So as we see temptation kind of coming up, you know, you're driving on the road and it's like a road sign. Okay, exit 2 miles, exit 1 mile, exit a half a mile, you know, here it comes. What are we doing to redirect the path and the journey? And I think that's a part of it because God would not lead us. God doesn't tempt us. Scripture tells us that. And so he's not the one doing that. And that's always an indicator of the enemy's work versus his work. Because God's always going to call us to deeper obedience and righteousness, not sin.
Yeah, I love that. I think that's a very good explanation because when Jesus tells us how to pray, and that is smack dab in the middle, like at least not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, that's basically us saying, give us strength amidst the temptation. Mm-hmm. But we know the Spirit led Jesus in Matthew 4 to the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. And it's like, wait, why would the Spirit do that? But that needed to happen to prove Jesus' strength. Not that he was God, but he was also human as well. Mm-hmm. And so when God allows temptation, he wants us to be ready in the right way through prayer for us not to succumb to it. But that doesn't mean he's going to take the temptation away, because I think when we succeed in not giving in to temptation, it gives us confidence and it builds us to be better because we know I have overcome this.
Yep.
And now I think a lot of us has succumbed to temptation. That's what sin is. And none of us are.
All have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. Right.
Jesus is the only one to overcome every temptation that came his way.
Yeah.
And so in my life, I have succumbed to temptation and I have given way to my flesh and I've grown in those ways that now when I am tempted by those same situations in which I have failed, I can now resist those. And so I think God can draw us maybe into those times in our lives where we're tempted to show us how strong we are and how far we've come. What do you think about that?
Yeah, so, okay, that's a great thought. And it makes me think a couple things. Like, so one, how Jesus combated the devil. Okay, so the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness, and then it says to be tempted by the devil. So back to like, okay, God doesn't tempt us, the devil does. And then what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 10:13. So Jesus' response every time he was tempted was, "For it is written." Now, yeah. Now Satan, you know, kind of threw out, you know, misconstrued things.
Well, all the way in the garden.
Right, correct. You
the
know,
apple it was, and the tree wasn't the temptation, right, it was Satan.
Corruption to the truth. And so Jesus went back to scripture. And if you look in 1 Corinthians 10:13, Paul wrote, "The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience." Okay, so we all go through this, and God is faithful. He will not allow you the temptation. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand or bear. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. And like you said, we've all given in and fallen short of God's glory. And there have been times in my life where I felt like Paul, where it's like, you know, the thing that I don't want to do, I do, but I keep on doing it. Why do I do it? And it's like, okay. And I wish that there was a formula. Now, there are some healthy habits and boundaries that we can set up, but I think it doesn't happen apart from relying on God's strength to just say, "God, sincerely, I need you. Sincerely, you see this problem. And I just want you to have every part of this and lead my heart to reflect yours." It's kind of like if you're driving down the highway and you see a tractor trailer and it kind of looks like you can see the front of the truck if you're right behind it. But you can also see the side of the trailer. It kind of is going down the road a little sideways. And that's like an alignment thing that causes the tires to, you know, explode on the road. You see the rubber and all that stuff and, you know, tons of needless repair work to happen. And so it's kind of like when we're praying, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." It's almost saying like, "God, align my heart with yours in regards to holiness." And I didn't mention this quote yesterday, but it's one that stuck out where I heard Craig Rochelle say, If we have a poor understanding of God's holiness, we will always have a casual approach to sin." And so when we understand the holiness of God, that helps us to regard the depths and the destruction that sin causes versus like, it's just temptation. It's not that bad. But in reality, to be like, no, the wages of sin is death. And so like, God's come to give us life. And does that mean that we're not going to struggle? No, but it means that in the context, we seek help, we seek boundaries, we seek the work of Christ and the movement of the Holy Spirit, so that as we work together as brothers and sisters, we can encourage people. And that's where I think the enemy just loves to pick us off, you know, and be like, "All right, I got you alone. You know, you're not talking to anybody. You're not in a group. You know, you're not being accountable to anyone." And there's where the danger zone lies. And we become fresh meat, you know, for our enemy who prowls around like a roaring lion seeking for whom he can devour. In the context of the body of Christ, like, we need each other. And that helps us to be like, "Oh man, dude, it kind of looked like that was, you know, something that maybe you could do better or fix," or, you know, like helping each other through those moments versus struggling through them on our own, which we've never been designed to do.
Accountability is so important.
Yeah.
And you mentioned as you work through the Lord's Prayer, it's more so the posture of your heart, not the posture of your physical body. And I think that's what Jesus wanted us to do through the Lord's Prayer, when he said you should pray like this. I think he wanted his disciples, their hearts, to be aligned with his through this prayer, because we don't have to say those exact words, but it's more so this prayer is going to get you to the posture your heart needs to be in, so that when you do face temptation, you're in the right place as a result of, you know, these focuses that I just gave you and how we need to pray. I appreciated that you said it's more about the posture of your heart. It's so crucial. And I think that's what Jesus wanted with this prayer when he said that to the disciples. Pastor Mike, you and I could talk for hours
on absolutely
this subject, probably any subject. But for our listeners and being sensitive to the time, I have one final question. If you had one takeaway for our listeners today concerning prayer, what would it be?
Man, well, let me just share out of just how God's been challenging my heart. So I just read through a book talking about following Jesus was never meant to be safe, and it was basing that premise off of some prayers found in Scripture. And those prayers were kind of in a nutshell, "Search me," reflecting David's prayer in Psalm 139, "Test my thoughts and know me," you know, so asking God to test us. and then lead us in the way everlasting. So really, I would say a takeaway is just starting with asking God to search us and reveal to ourselves what's in there. He knows it. Like you said earlier, we've got blind spots. And so letting God do the work with where we're at now and revealing to us the place that he wants to do that work. Because if we don't ask him to search us, there can be these hidden things that we're not being honest with ourselves about or honest with him about. And if there's anyone that we can trust to handle our dirt and our junk and help us out of it safely, it's our Heavenly Father. So I would say starting with the prayer, search me.
It's so good. Thank you so much for investing your time and study in this subject of prayer and taking your time out today to be with us. And thank you, listeners, for investing your time with us here on CWC Dive Deep. Join us next Monday as Dive Deep tackles the topic of our money, our finances. If you missed past episodes, check those out at cwc.life, where you can catch up on our entire Core 52 series and access all the resources you need to dive deep in your personal study or with your core group. We want you to have a great week.